John chapter 21 is the story of when Peter had fallen off of his bike and Jesus had to come and pick him up and help him to start again. And so it's a message of restoration. So I don't know if there's somebody out there today and you need restoration. You need to be restored back to a relationship with Jesus. And if it is, then I believe the message is going to speak to you. For everyone else, I would say this. There often comes times in our life where we need to be restored. And if nothing else, let this be a seed planted in your spirit so that when that moment occurs, if it does, the Holy Spirit can draw on this day and bring back some of those things to your remembrance so that you'll know how to start again and that you won't be permanently left lying on the ground apart from your Father who loves you. And then it may be that you know someone that has fallen, someone that has drifted very far from God, and you need to help them to get back. Maybe today these will be some words that you can use. And so I pray that you'll go out and you'll minister this to people. So let me show you what's going on here. Peter was a very bold and ambitious follower of Christ, full of just courage. And he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, these other folks, they might leave you, but I'll never leave you." And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Oh, Peter, it won't be very long, and you're going to deny me, and you're going to deny me three times." Peter said, "Oh, no, it'll never happen. I love you too much for that. I'm with you all the way." You can just hear, you know, this courage that he has inside of him, that he's found Jesus. He's never going to leave him. Nothing's ever going to separate him from Christ. But then Jesus is taken away by the soldiers, and he's going through this process of crucifixion. And a young lady looks at Peter, and she says, "Aren't you one of those followers?" And all of a sudden, he becomes afraid for his own life, and he denies Christ once. And then he's asked again, and he denies him a second time. If that's not good enough, just like Jesus said, three times, they said, "Are you sure? You sure do look like one of those fellows that's been following around with Jesus, and he's afraid." I've told you so many times before, if we're going to fail, it's most likely when we're afraid. It causes us to do things that are outside of ourselves, outside of our nature. And so he curses and he says, "No, no." He runs off. And then the Lord is crucified. Can you imagine denying? I love to put myself in the stories of the Bible. Can you imagine denying Christ, watching him go to his crucifixion and die there and wonder if you are going to be stuck in that position? Does anybody else see that in the story? I have to believe that Peter saw Christ die and thought, "I am stuck in my condition. I denied the very one that I loved. I did what I said I wasn't going to do. I did what I didn't want to do. And now I'm stuck here. And there is no hope for me." And so the story is that Jesus comes and he appears to his followers. But I don't think he ever tells them that he's going to be back until the very end, when he says that he's leaving to go to heaven and he says that he'll go back. And so he appears to them, but then he goes away. And I'm wondering if the disciples sitting there going, "I wonder if he'll be back." You know, a lot of times we look at these disciples and we go, "Foolish Peter." I look at Peter and I go, "There's hope for Kevin." You know, because they don't know what's next. We have the privilege of reading Scripture and we know what's next and we read it with that in mind. But when he appears to them after his crucifixion and he leaves, do they know he's coming back? Does Peter know that everything's okay? You ever had something against someone? And every time you see them, what is most prevalent on your mind? Are we okay? Is it good with us? A lot of times when we've done something and we feel like we've sinned against God, we've done something that we didn't want to do, the one question that is always kind of in the heart of the one who has loved Christ says, "Is it good with us? You know, are me and God good?" And I think that's the condition that Peter's still in, even though he's seen him a couple of times. Are we good? Is it okay? is that the end of my story? Will I ever be what God called me to be? Or did I just screw it up forever? Is it okay if I use that language? Because I think we would all have said that sometime before. Like, we've done something and we wonder, did we screw it up beyond our ability to recover from it? And I want to tell you that the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will find you. You hear me? The mercy of Jesus will find you. We live in this culture that loves justice. Yeah, I don't know if you're a justice-loving person. But now there's a justice of Scripture, and then there's this justice that we've adopted. And this justice that we've adopted says, if somebody has done something to me, then that person's got to pay. We want people to pay. We want murderers to pay. We want criminals of any type to pay. We want people that hurt us, we want them to pay. Then when we do something to somebody else, what do you want? You want mercy. But you expect that everybody around you is going to make you pay. Craziest thing, isn't it? We want everybody to pay, and then when we do something wrong, we're hoping that we can find mercy, but we're not sure if we can or not. And I think that's where Peter finds himself. And so he does what any good man will do. He just goes back to work. You ever done that, fellas? You ever been in a situation where you felt like you were distanced from God and you didn't know what to do, and so you just go back to work? That's what Peter did. Peter was a fisherman. And so it says in chapter 1, verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, we'll go too. That's my nearly inspired Kevin translation. Yeah. He doesn't know what to do, so he'll just go back to what's familiar to him. So many times when we make a mistake, when we sin, the thing that, because we don't know where we stand with God, we'll just go back and pick up some old habits that we've had. Anybody ever done that? You think, I've messed this thing so bad, I'll just go back to what's familiar to me. I'll just go back into my sin. Maybe you don't go back into your sin, you just go back into this thing that's familiar. So you go back to work. You go out to the garage. You go out to the shop. You go out into the field. You go back on to whatever your hobby is. Something that gets your mind off of this thing. And so Peter says, I'm just going to go back. And it's nighttime, and they're fishing, and they aren't catching anything. I don't know if the Lord does you that way or not, but when you're far from Him, oftentimes the things you're doing don't amount to much. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, when you're far from God and you're trying to fish or you're trying to work, it just feels like nothing's happening. Nothing good is coming of it. It's just futile. And that's what they're doing. They're just out there in futility, casting nets, catching nothing. And then, you ever heard of this? I think it's Yogi Bear. I'm not sure it's him that said it. It's deja vu all over again. You ever heard of that? All of a sudden, Jesus takes the disciples through this incredible case of deja vu. And so let me just show it to you. It says in verse 4, but when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Oftentimes it's said that the darkest time is right in that morning time. It's right in that section just before daylight. Oftentimes when we're in our sin and we're in a bad situation, it seems so dark right there. And I will tell you, oftentimes it's right at that darkest moment that you ought to start looking for somebody, because that's often when Jesus appears. And that's what he does, but they don't know him. They don't know that it's him. And so Jesus said to them, children, do you not have any fish, do you? And they answered, no. And he tells them, cast your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find a catch. And so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of such a great number of fish. Why is that so important? Because I told you, it's deja vu all over again. Do you know where these disciples met Jesus? They met him fishing. He's taking them back to the beginning. He's taking them back to that day that they met him and they weren't catching any fish. And he looked at them then and he told them to do a specific thing, and they caught a great measure of fish. And so when it happens then and they start pulling up these fish, they have this thought that comes through their mind. wait a minute, we know who this is. This is Jesus. And here is Peter. God, I love him. In verse 7, therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And what does Peter do? It says he throws himself into the sea. Do you see that? He finds that Jesus is there, and he wondered if Jesus would ever come back to him. And the moment that he realizes who it is, he throws himself into the sea. There's just a little comedic moment for me there. I said, I wondered if he thought about walking on water. Sometimes we have a great fall, don't we? Sometimes we just stumble, and other times we have a great fall. Here is the one person that walked on water with Jesus. And I bet you when he goes and he dives into that water, the last thing he's thinking about is walking on water, because he's low right now, folks. He's in a bad spot. And he's not thinking about walking on water. He's just trying to get to the one that he disappointed. He's just trying to get to the one that he loved, to maybe just see him one more time. And so he throws himself in the water. And then the other disciple said, okay, I guess we'll bring the boat home. And so they grab a ball of fish, and Peter is just running to Jesus, because Jesus is his one thing. And as he gets there, in verse 9, it says that there was a charcoal fire already laid, and the fish were placed on it in bread. I don't know if you remember this or not, but that's deja vu all over again, because the lady who asked Jesus, was he a follower of Christ? Guess what? It was over a charcoal fire. And I wonder if he looked at that and went, oh my goodness, this is just taking me back. Taking me back to rehash everything that I've done. The last time I remembered some stuff about Jesus was over a charcoal fire when I was denying him. And then Jesus begins to feed, and he begins to have a conversation. And it turns out that it's the third time that Jesus had been seen by them. It says that in verse 4:14. Now listen to how Jesus restores Peter. Verse 15. And so when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What is he asking about there? Who do you love? Is he saying, Peter, do you love me more than these fish that you've gone back to? Peter, do you love me more than the disciples? Because you said you'd love me more than these disciples. Do you remember that? I love you more than all of these boys. I'll follow you all the time. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Oh, there's a charcoal fire reminding him of what he did wrong. Now his words are being brought back to him. And he's thinking about that time where he was big and he was bold and he was bad and he said he was never going to turn from God. And Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your occupation that you've gone back to, your hobbies? Do you love me more than the people that are around you? And I don't want to get caught up in these words today, but there's a play on words that happens. And Jesus says essentially this to Peter. Peter, do you agape love me? It's this God kind of love. It's this mind will kind of love. It's a God kind of love. And Peter, he's low. I don't know if any of you ever prayed when you're low. But at that point, you're not big and bad and bold anymore. And he's, Peter, as he looks up with him, he knows that he really doesn't have that kind. And so he uses a word, it's called philia. And it means like affection like you'd have for one brother to another. And Peter looks at him and says, Jesus, you know I love you. And then Jesus says this, then tend my lambs, feed my lambs. Hold on to that. That's going to be important. And then he asked him again in verse 16. He said to him again a second time. Because how many times did Peter deny him? Yeah, so he asked him a second time. Simon, son of John, do you love me? That same word, agape. Do you agape me? Do you love me? And he said to him, oh man, Jesus, you know I love you, Philio. You know I've got a affection for you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. Love my sheep. And then Jesus looks at him a third time and he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And at this point, that's probably about as much as you can bear if you're Peter. You know, how many times are you gonna ask me this? Do you love me? And Peter was grieved, and he said to him the third time, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, tend my sheep. And here's what I want to share with some of you today, okay, is that you may have been in a situation recently. You may be defined by something. You see, when Peter denied Christ, he's living with this thought that I'm the one who denied Christ. And that's all he can think about. There are sometimes when you sin, when you stray from God, it's all you can think about is your failure. And so you see yourself as a failure, and you see yourself as your sin. And this beautiful thing comes to in this story, Jesus never even brings it up. Do you see that? He never even brings it up. He walks in through this process, but he says, do you love me? And I want to ask you that question today. Do you love him? It's not a rhetorical question. You really do have to decide, do you love him? And then in that, he says, feed my sheep. He restores him back to the place that he was supposed to be. So I don't know if there's anybody in the room today, but you feel like that God called you to something. And you feel like because of your sin or your failure or your shortcoming or something, that you might never see that day. Well, I got news for you. Jesus restores us to bring us back to our original calling in life. Do you see that? He restores you to bring you back to that thing. So I want to ask you, what is that thing that God called you to? Pull it up in your mind. What is that thing that God said to you a year ago or 15 years ago or whatever, and you thought that maybe you've lost it, that you can't get it back, that you can't be that person? Well, look what happens when Jesus restores Peter. He calls him back, and he calls him to the original thing, which is, feed my lambs, lead my sheep, feed my people. He calls him back to that thing. And so today I want to tell you that if you had something that God called you to do and you felt like you messed it up, let's just go on and say it, you feel like you screwed it up and like you never can get back to it, I will tell you that Jesus is coming to you today and he's restoring you. And he's restoring you back to that original calling and that original purpose in life. And so I want to bring you back to something. Do you remember when you decided to follow Jesus? Can I take you back that far? Some of you have been a believer a long time. I want to take you back to that day when you originally decided to follow Jesus. You remember that day that you surrendered your life to him? I want you to think about it for just a moment. Why did you follow him? Why did you follow him that day? I look at Scripture, and I've looked at it sometimes before, of people who followed Christ, and while they followed, there were sick people, and they followed him. Guess why? Because they wanted to be healed. Yeah, there were crowds, and they followed him, and they thought that this was just a cool thing. You know, everybody was going out to see this Jesus, and they would go out, and they would see him too. But those disciples, they made a different commitment. They saw him differently. And I want to bring you back to that original reason that you decided to follow Christ. And there may be someone in the room and you've never really decided to follow Christ. What you wanted was you were hoping that Jesus was going to follow you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, there's a whole lot of people who have missed this thing of salvation. What they thought it was is, I'm going to get saved and then Jesus is going to follow me. Right? And so they start walking and they look back to see if Jesus is following. And so they walk into sin and they look and see if Jesus is going to come and get them out of it, because that's what they want, right? Is they want to be bailed out of a bad situation. Yeah. Some people, they say that they're going to follow Christ, but what happens is they just start walking and they start making plans and they look back to see if God's going to bless their mess. And they get mad when He doesn't. And the reason is because somewhere there was a misunderstanding. You see, what Jesus said is, you have to lay down your life. Remember last week, you have to surrender control and you have to follow Me. And when you follow Me, these amazing things happen. Can I just tell you that I've seen too much? I really have. Jesus asked Peter one time, everybody was leaving Him, and that day Peter got it right. Jesus said, Peter, you want to go too? Peter said, Lord, I got nowhere to go. I don't have anywhere to go. I've given up everything to follow You. I want to ask you, is that the kind of commitment that you made? Because there's a version of Christianity out there that says if you come to God, you'll get all the fish you need, all the healings you need, all the stuff you need. You just go off, start walking, and Jesus will start following. And I'll tell you, that's not the salvation that you find in Scripture. The salvation that is in Scripture is this: you give your life, you follow Me. Now, I thought about that, and I said, Lord, it's no wonder nobody follows You. Apparently, y'all don't get honest with Jesus. You should. I recommend it. I look at that, and the call to the disciples was, come and follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. I've looked at that often and said, Jesus, who would buy that? You know? I mean, it would be better if you were Jesus to walk up to people and say, come and follow Me, and I'll give you the American dream. Right? Come and follow Me, and I'll make all your dreams come true. Come and follow Me, and I'll make you just like your friends. You know, whatever it may be. I said, Jesus, why in the world does anybody want to follow You with an appeal like that? And I can only speak for myself, is that when I read Scripture and I saw this person called Jesus, He did for me what no one else could do. He turned me on to what Amy Bender said this morning, which is He turned me on to the heart of the Father. And at first I became curious, was there a God, and could He truly love me the way that this Bible says that He could? And I'll tell you that I've had two experiences, and I don't know if they line up with your theory of salvation or not. I can only tell you what I experienced. There was a moment in my life when I trusted God to save me. I trusted Him that He had forgiven me of my sins, that He died on the cross. There was that moment. But then there was this other moment when I let Him love me. And I want you to have both. Okay? Because really, there's not enough tank in the gas if all you got was forgiveness of sin. It is love that is the motivator that will see you to the finish line. It's His love. And if you haven't experienced that, then I don't know if you've got enough gas in your tank. And so I run into people all the time, and they're trying to follow God, and they're trying to serve Him, and they're trying to do all these things. And I will tell you, I've told you before, I'm the poster boy for that. That will not work. But then I heard of His love for me. And then I had this moment in my life where I had to make a decision if I was going to receive the love of God or not. I've told you before, but I'm going to tell you again, because I think there's somebody in the room that hadn't heard it and you need it. So I'll leave the 99 of y'all for a moment if I need to go and speak to this one, okay? That's what Jesus was doing, by the way, when he went to restore Peter. Yeah. I got two thoughts running in my mind. I got to figure out which one to go with. Take me back to Peter and Jesus in a minute, okay? So it's this love of God. I've told you before that I had built up these walls in my life. Some of you have heard this before, so I'm going to share it again. I'd built up these walls because I had found that people could hurt you. And I didn't like being hurt. And so I built these walls, and they were really convenient because they could keep people out, and then they couldn't hurt me. And that felt great, you know? And so I built them up, and then there were some people, they had longer legs than other people, so they could climb over the ones that I had built. And I was like, I need a bigger wall. And so I built a bigger wall. And then I found out that they couldn't get over them anymore. But then there were situations that were bigger than those people. And so then I needed a bigger wall. And I kept building this wall until one day I looked and the wall was really, really high. In fact, somebody wrote like a book or a poem on this. Y'all gave it to me the other day. And I'm like, somebody else's experience is other than me. That is awesome. You know? And as I built this wall, it was great because nobody could hurt me. And I'd been like that since a kid. So sometime I built it when I was at y'all's house, okay? I don't know. That's my parents. I was building it as a kid, honestly. And then I got to this part where people were telling me about the love of God. And the best thing that happened to me was when I looked and I said, you know what? God, I don't love you. I don't love you the way I'm supposed to love you. And the best thing that anybody ever told me is they said, Kevin, you don't love him because you don't know that he loves you. Did you hear me? You see, we don't love God first. God loves us first. So you'll never love God if you're trying to initiate. Love is a reaction to being loved. But you see, I couldn't be loved because I had my walls up. And the thing that I didn't realize that was happening in the process was I was keeping everybody out. Even God. And that lady convinced me to lay down those walls. So I had a moment where Jesus forgave me of my sin, and I had a moment where the love of God came in, and the walls came down, and I had to be in a position where people could hurt me, and they do. None of y'all. But you have to be in a position where people can hurt you because you can't love without it. Did you hear that? You can't love without risk. Love's risky business. Some of you liable to be married. Oh, Lord, I done gone to meddling. You sure going to have to bring me back in a minute. Some of you have been married, and you have not experienced the true love of that relationship yet. And I don't know how old you are and how long you've been in it, but you've not experienced it. And the reason that you have not experienced it is because you still don't want anybody to hurt you. And so that spouse is still at a distance. And the way that you truly love is when the walls come down and you allow Jesus to come in. And then I said, you know, that it's a bad sale. Well, I would tell you this. When the love of God came in, I have never experienced anything like it. In fact, at Celebrate Recovery, one of our ladies, she emailed me one day, or she called me, and she said, Kevin, she said, it's just amazing. She said, I can't imagine, I've just never imagined that God could love me this much. She said, I am so excited. She said, I asked God if I could get closer to him. She said, Kevin, guess what God said? God said, you can, get in my word. I thought, but do you know she was not turned off by that? She was stoked. I mean, she was like, I'm going to get in his word because he said if I get in his word, he's gonna show me things. And she was so excited. And she hung up the phone and then she texted me and she said, I'm really sorry if I scared you. She said, but I've never experienced anything like this. She said, I've taken every drug on earth, literally. And I've experienced every high that's imaginable to man. She said, but this love of God thing, I never experienced anything like that. I don't know if you've experienced anything like that, but I want to draw you to that today. Because once you've experienced it, then you become a follower of Christ. And then the only way I can describe it is this. You get a front row seat to the God show. That's what it's like to me. You get a front row seat to the God show. So you get to watch God do these incredible things that the person who wanted God to follow them never gets to see. You hear me? They never get to see it because they're always trying to convince God to follow them. But when you follow Him, then you get to see these things in Scripture. You get to see people get saved. You get to see people get healed. You get to see people's minds be renewed. You get to see people struggle and fall and be restored by God again. You get to see all of those things. And so you were supposed to bring me back to this point that I was going to end up on. Jesus and Peter. That's right. That's where we were. Which is, so many people think that God just doesn't have time for them. Yeah? That they're insignificant in the grand scheme of everything. So who am I that God would come to me? And I want to finish with that. Who are you? Well, you're just like Peter. And the point of the story of Peter is to show you how much God loves you. You would be mistaken if you read this and thought that John chapter 21 was about Jesus restoring his best friend Peter. Because you'd walk away from that and go, well, that was just a really good friend of Jesus, and so he did all he could to go and restore him. No, Peter is a model of what Jesus will do for you. Peter is a model that says that Jesus will come to you at the most inappropriate, inconvenient times just because he loves you and he wants to restore you. Think about this. Jesus has been crucified. He has to be resurrected unto the Father. If there was any moment that Jesus would want to look at somebody and say, I'm a little busy right now, that would be the moment. But you see, this Jesus that we serve, he's always leaving the 99 to go and find the one. He's always leaving the group, if necessary, to go and get you. So don't you ever think that God's too busy for you. Don't you ever think that you've gone too far that God can't find you. You see, Jesus said, I know where they'll be. They'll be back doing the stuff that they used to do. And I'll go back and I'll find him there. And I'll restore him. And so here's what I would like to do. I want to talk you guys through some restoration this morning. So y'all stand up with me. There's a few things that the Lord has been confirming for me. So one, I want to speak to the person who you have struggled and failed mightily. And I want to tell you that you did not run from the mercy and the grace of God. You can't run that fast. But that God is here and he's saying, I don't know if you can hear. That's all I actually need to hear. And I don't even know how to explain that to you. But that's restoration for Kevin. When Kevin hears Jesus say, Kevin, do you love me? Can you hear those words? Kevin, do you love me? I say, Lord, I love you. But he won't stop there. Kevin, do you love me? And my heart melts. My heart just melts. Lord, you know I love you. But I'm a mess. Whatever kind of mess you want to be. A stinking mess, a hot mess. A plain mess, just a mess. And Jesus says, I know. But today I come to restore you. Today I come to restore you to the person that I know that you are meant to be. And so for somebody, I want you to receive the forgiveness of God today. And then for somebody, you got to go back and pick up your original design. You already know what it is. You already know what you were called to. But you lost it somewhere in the midst of everything and you weren't sure if you could get back to it. And I'm telling you that the restoration of God says, start again. And so I want you to start again. And then there is somebody and you have never heard God speak. And you have no idea what God wants you to do. But I believe that in this moment that God is going to speak. And he speaks to those who have decided to follow him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so I believe it's a day of new beginnings. I'm not sure because we have two little young girls. And I don't think that they will be embarrassed. But Sydney and Layla are some children that I believe God has gifted with this thing of worship. And I hadn't seen them. I don't know if my eye hadn't been drawn to them or what, but was that Sydney that was singing this morning? Yeah. And Layla, she'll just throw her hands up in the air sometimes and just as she's painting. And I just saw them worshiping. And I heard that voice again. And I'm like, yeah, this is a day that God is restoring things, that God is making things new. And then I don't know who did this picture over here. I got to find the author. She might be gone to Kingdom Kids. Who did that? Isn't it the little girl that was with you, right? She's not even in here, is she? Did she go to Kingdom Kids? Do you see that? As I was finally believing that God was settling in on this thing of restoration, I look over and this little girl, how many times has she been here? Not many, right? She comes with you all the time. Okay. And she's painting this picture. And you see it's got three crosses. I don't know if you can see it in the back. But in between those crosses, there's love. I don't even think I have to say anymore, do I? You want to know what the cross stands for? It's that God is not waiting to punish you. It's that He was punished for you. And that what He did on the cross stands as an eternal testament of His love for you. If you want to know what restoration looks like, this is it. It's not how much you can feel sorry for yourself, how much amends you can pray, how many things you can do. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with this right here. It is the love of God. And it is the thing that binds us. So I want to call you back to your Savior and your Lord. Can we do the Abba song? I'm going to dismiss you in just a minute. I want to point out your attention to one last thing in the Scripture. When Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" His instructions were, "Feed my lamb, lead my sheep, and again, feed my sheep." And it was that mindset that Peter was called to more than that, than just himself. Some of you are called to more than just your life. You're called to feed and to lead. And maybe up to this point you have not, because you didn't feel like you were properly restored. But I want to tell you today that it's easy for Jesus to forgive sins because of what He's already done. And that some of you are being called into more. And then this one last thing, and then I'm going to dismiss you. And then anybody who needs to have prayer, we're going to hang around because we never want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. But there is one thing that Peter did that you may yet be unwilling to do, and that is this. He jumped out of the boat and he started swimming to Jesus. And I would say that's that piece that we sometimes miss. Boats are great, but in the Scripture, many times they're nothing but problems. You see, the safest place sometimes is wherever Jesus is. And so I'm going to say that some of you are still in your boat. And whatever that means for you to get out of the boat and get to Jesus, that's what you need to do. If it's this altar, if it's to go to a person and share what's going on in your life, but somehow or another, that faith initiates this reconciliation that God wants. So I'm going to look at you as lovingly as I can, and I'm going to say, get out of the boat. Because most of the time, those boats are sinking, and they're going nowhere, and run to Jesus. God bless you. You guys have a great week. If you want to stay around, we're going to pray for some people, all right? If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.